So how do we present ourselves every day in any given situation when we are at work or in public or even now? Doesn't matter where we are, shopping, or it doesn't matter. How do we present ourselves? Now, for those who don't know us, do we know what people may perceive of us as their first impression? Now, a good first impression is very important, especially at a job interview. And most of us have been on a job interview, and you're going to present yourself a little bit differently than you usually would, right? Because it is valuable how we present ourselves, and being prepared is also critical. For those of us who have jobs and associate with clients or customers on a daily basis, a good first impression is also quite beneficial because you want to have repeat customers, especially first-time clients. Now, even when we may call customer service for something, usually it's a bill or whatever it may be, we could almost tell right away that the person who answers the phone, what kind of person they're going to be, just the way they immediately speak to us and the way they answer the phone. But then again, we could be completely wrong. And the same is true for the other way around, assuming that it will be a bad experience just based on the first impression we received when they introduced themselves. And oftentimes we assume, or people assume differently about us based on our and their first impression. Now, people that we meet for the very first time, all dependent in what environment, people that meet me for the very first time, depending on the environment you're in or people you are around, would assume several things about what kind of a person I am if they don't know me, just the way I look or the way I'm acting or whatever it may be, what I'm wearing, what I'm doing, how I sound. But not too many would speculate that I'm a minister at their first guess. Of course, especially on the environment you're in. Now, I don't broadcast it. I'm not going to come up to someone and say, "So what have you done today? Are you going to repent? Or you just celebrate Christmas? Well, let me tell you about Christmas." No, I'm not going to do that. And I don't wear a suit every day and everywhere I go. Although one time I did wear a suit, I was after church, went to a local athletic store and was wearing a suit there. And I can't tell you how many people came up to me assuming I was a manager. And I just, I played along. And it was fun. But it is interesting, even by how you present yourself and how you dress. Now, oftentimes, people may assume something different when they first see us. Would they ever assume right away that we are very religious? We are the very few that God has chosen. We are the first fruits. Is that how we come across right away? Yes, we may have bad days from time to time, and our persona may come across in a negative way. And unfortunately, others may pick up on that. We also may look at others that way as well. But we shouldn't judge too harshly, since we may not know what is going on through the other person's mind, because they also have bad days. What is even just as, or sometimes even more important to us, or more important, is the lasting impression that we should leave behind. As people get to know us more and more, our overall attitude should be vital, since we are to act like Christians, as we are to imitate Christ. And in this society, especially right now, it is extremely difficult to do so, but it is not impossible. Now, focusing on friendship, and we just recently had a sermon about that, given Mr. Eric Rank last week, and I wasn't actually planning on going into a lot of stuff he did, but it just so happens that this goes very well together. So when focusing on friendship, when it comes to people that we have known for a while, friends of ours, how do you think they would describe just what kind of a person we may be? Of all the things they would say about us, would they also consider us strong and deeply committed in our beliefs? The question is, What do we consider most important? Friendship or our beliefs? This is where consistency comes in and is very important because of our beliefs. And we're always going to be tested on it, but the time will come where they'll remember, okay, he's very consistent about what he keeps or what he believes, so we'll test him a little bit, but that's about it. It is actually gets a lot easier as we go along. Of course, we must choose our friends wisely, not giving into anything that would be contrary to God's word, as well as anything that would be against our conscience, or may even affect us emotionally and spiritually. Do you consider yourself to be a good friend? And even if you have lost friends, in whatever the case may be, did you at least leave a good impression? The important thing is that you and I must be a good friend. Notice Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 to 46. Matthew chapter 5, and verse 43, we read, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you?" You leave a good impression behind, even those to those people who use you, who consider you as an enemy, who can constantly test you, who may even bully you. If you leave a good impression on that, they're going to remember that. It may not be immediately, but it will be down the road. What kind of hypocrite would we be if we did the total opposite of what I just read here and expect our friend to be friends with us? Now, even though we may do whatever we can do to be a good friend, it is not all up to us. The other side has to feel the same way as well. And if they don't, then that's a problem that they have to deal with. But just remember what it says in verse 48. "Therefore you shall become perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." We are not perfect yet, but we are on our way to that. And we are on our way to become perfect. And we go through these trials and we go through everything we go through in our life. And we learn from everything. This should be our goal. And if we do this, then you wouldn't have to worry about leaving a bad impression. You did all that you can do to be a good friend and make sure that you left a good impression. Now, a first impression, as we have heard, is also oftentimes misleading. However, a lasting impression is crucial. And the greatest example of all time is that of Jesus Christ. He had a lasting impression on all of our lives and still does. He did everything right. And yet one of his friends betrayed him. But Christ still responded to him as a friend before they took Christ away to be crucified. And we know this scripture, Matthew 26, in verse 47. Matthew 26, verse 47. "And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, 'Whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him.' Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, 'Greetings, Rabbi,' and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, 'Friend, why have you come?' Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him." Was that a response that Judas was expecting? Christ still calling him a friend? But eventually, what happened to Judas? You know, he, as we read in chapter 27, verses 3 to 5, "Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful, brought back 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.' They said, 'What is that to us? You see to it.' He threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hung himself." I mean, his ultimate fate, he killed himself. Now, I mean, he was sorry, but he didn't have godly repentance. Yeah, of course, he was sorry that he got caught or whatever it may be, but also having that guilt on him as well. I mean, there's a lot of things that went through his mind, and he thought the answer was to kill himself. Now, the world, what we do, because we're supposed to imitate Christ, and look what happened as a result to Christ anyway, how everybody that followed him, that turned their back on him, and many of them ended up being guilty for killing him. But just like we, having to imitate Christ as we do, the world is also hating us for what we believe and what we do. Notice John chapter 15 and verse 18. John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. They persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. All these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him or who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which no one else did, they would have no sin. But now they have seen and also hated both me and my Father. But this happened that the word might be fulfilled, which is written in the law, they hated me without a cause. So even though we are hated for what we believe, now it may not be such a blatant thing, but even the tests and persecutions that we go through, even the small little tests from our friends, whatever, saying, oh, here, you know, you still want to celebrate Christmas, whatever it may be, and in a way that is putting a test on you, because we don't do what they do, in a way, we're hated by it. But it could get worse and worse as time goes by, and we're always going to be tested, but not further than what we can bear. Our goal is to be as Christ, who is the light of the world, and we too will be just like him. And as a result, we will leave a good impression on everyone. Now, we must continue to do that now by doing what he tells us in John 15 and in verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. And in verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. See how all this goes together. You're keeping God's commandments. It also symbolizes love as well. And you, if you love Christ, you keep his commandments. If you don't love Christ, or if you don't keep his commandments, you don't love him. That clear? And there is a part that we have to do to love one another. The most important thing in all of this is that we have to have our friendship first with God. And we are called friends of God when we do his commandments, as we read in John 15, verse 14, we just did. It hurts when we lose a friend, but remember, you still have other friends, still have families. The church should be. It's considered family as well. And you have other friends that care for you. And you always make new friends. The friends we have lost will be back one day, and we will see them again. And they will remember what we had told them, and hopefully by the good impression that we had left. Having a good first impression can be beneficial in many ways, especially with some of the things deemed necessary, as I mentioned earlier, and also dependent in certain environments we are in. A good, lasting impression is advantageous, since it shows that we are consistent in our actions, as we should be, expressing to others that we are good examples, representing Christ. And this will always and also be pleasing to God. Also consider this, especially spiritually speaking, and for the reason that we are here, and for what our true potential will ultimately be. A good first impression is also a lasting impression.